You're listening to the Valley Vegas Church Podcast. Valley Vegas is located at 4500 West Sahara Avenue in the heart of Las Vegas. For more information and to get connected with us, visit valleyvegas.org. We hope you are blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Hey! You know, all I want to say after watching that is I feel like running. I don't know. How are you doing this morning? Good. Come on. You know, any place that you can be with Jesus is the best place. Amen? Come on. Well, hey, I want to first of all just welcome any of our new guests. My name is Pastor Russell. I want to welcome those online too who are tuning in. Hey, thank you so much. It's always such an honor to be here with you. And, you know, amongst many things that we're going through as a church and as a nation, there's one thing that God really impressed on my heart through this time, and that's to never take anything for granted, you guys. And so I just want to tell you, I will never take you or this time together for granted at all, because there's no place that I would rather be than in the house of the Lord worshiping Jesus Christ with you guys. Amen? All right. Yeah, give it up for Jesus. Come on. Another thing that the Lord's really been putting on my heart is in this time, I mean, you turn on the news and you see that, you know, our nation is in a disarray right now. We're in a spiritual combat war. This isn't a physical war, you guys. This has everything to do with the spirit. And Paul in Ephesians 6, verse 12 says that that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the authorities, against the powers of darkness, and against spiritual forces in heavenly places. See, here's the thing. We're fighting a battle right now that can only be won through faith in God, okay? And so as we go into this battle, we have to go in with our faith, and we have to use our faith. You know, the enemy is trying to throw every weapon he can, not only at America, but at the church. Do you feel that? Come on. But here's the thing. I'm going to tell you something. Yeah. Come on, sister. I like your energy. Here's the thing. The first of the year when we had our first Wednesday, you remember that far back? It's already been 6 months. We had promises that you could take. And the promise that I got was Isaiah 54:17 that says, no weapon formed against me will prosper. Do you know that's against God's people? That's against you. That's against this body. That's against our nation. Because guess what? That's a promise for us all, right? Isaiah 54:17. So I want to talk to you this morning about faith and why faith is so important. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible. Say impossible. To please God, because the one who comes to God must believe that he exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, faith is not something that we just believe, okay? Somebody said, well, you have faith? Yeah, I have faith. Okay, well, what's your faith in? Well, I just have faith. See, faith is more than that. Faith is living in your faith. Faith is fighting from your faith, and faith is fighting for your faith, okay? That's the title of this message this morning, is Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. Before I get into today's message, I just want to open up in prayer. So if you just bow your heads with me, Father, I just come before you and I thank you. Before we even get into this message, I thank you that I feel the atmosphere of Jesus in this room. I pray that you take the words that you've given me and you would anoint them, Lord, and that you would just put the Holy Spirit all over it and put it in people's hearts and give them the ability to have victory through your word. And we thank you, Father, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Fight the good fight of faith. This is what Paul encourages Timothy to do in 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we're going to pick up in verse 12. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses and in the sight of God, who gives life to everything, and of Christ Jesus, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. I love how it says fight the good fight of the faith, right? But in the ERV, which is, I guess, easier version to read, it says, and I like how it says it, it says in verse 12, it says, we have to fight to keep our faith, Try as hard as you can to win that fight. Can we say that as a church? We have to fight to keep our faith. Try as hard as you can to win that fight. Come on. See, Paul is telling Timothy, this is a command, Timothy. You have been entrusted. Something has been invested in you. This faith that you have to fight not only in it, but you have to fight to keep it. Do you know every son and every daughter of God has a measure of faith? God has given every single person in this building today a measure of faith. You know, we were saved by grace, but it was through the faith in what Jesus did on the cross. So when you said yes to Jesus, that was the faith that you received that grace. This morning, as we focus on fighting the good fight of faith, I want to explain something. Have you ever heard somebody one time who's been like really praying and believing? And they come up to you and they say, you know, I believed, I confessed, I did everything I was supposed to do. And I even stood in faith, but I didn't see what I was asking God to do. And you know, as a pastor, when people come up, and I've heard this before, the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know what, I have compassion. Because I understand what they're saying is, did I do something wrong? No, you didn't do anything wrong. But here's the danger in thinking that when you believe in God's word, he doesn't honor his word, is that if you do that for one moment, then what you're saying is that what God is telling you is not true. And the Bible says this. The Bible says that God is not a man that he can lie, right? So when God tells you something and he gives you a word, he can't lie to you with that word. In the book of Mark chapter 9, Jesus's disciples are trying to cast out this demon out of this little boy. And they couldn't do it. So the man brings his son to Jesus and he says, Lord, if you can do anything, have mercy on my son and heal him. And Jesus said, if I can do anything, remember, he says in verse 23, Jesus says, all things are possible if you only believe. All things, can you say that? All things are possible if you only believe. So because God's word cannot lie to us, we don't see faith line up sometimes with the promises that he's given us. Something has gone wrong, but it's not his word. And that's what I want to talk about. Our faith is so important in what we believe because it's so pleasing to God. That's the only way you can please God is through your faith, right? But you want to know what else faith is? It's a weapon, you guys. It's such a powerful, violent weapon that Jesus says you can use your faith to pick up a mountain and throw it into the ocean. Satan's afraid of that faith. And he's the enemy of that faith. And anyone that comes against God's word or tries to hinder God's word in your life is an enemy. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5, Paul says that the weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of this world. See, if we're going to win this battle, we got to fight the spirit in the spirit, right? We can't fight it with worldly weapons. It says, on the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Say, demolish strongholds. Do you know what a stronghold can be? A stronghold can be a thought process, an experience, a setback. And it's trying to hold you back from going to where God has told you you're going to go. The problem with that is that God has given us the ability to not only destroy strongholds, but he's given us the ability to demolish arguments and everything that would rise itself up against the knowledge of God. And you know how we do that? Through holding every thought captive and subjecting it to the authority of Christ. See, a lot of us, we're accepting things that aren't even in God's plan for us, and then we're saying, God, why are you letting this happen? He's saying, you're not subjecting your emotions. You're not subjecting your circumstances to my word and holding it into the authority of my word. So because faith has an enemy, I want to identify some of these possible enemies of faith. Perhaps these enemies have had the ability to affect our faith and the things that we were expecting God to do, but we didn't see it, okay? So we're going to talk about the enemies of faith. And the first enemy of faith this morning we're going to talk about is worry. the enemy of worry. This enemy causes you to be uneasy, to be restless or agitated. Hello, when you go outside, do you see a lot of uneasiness, a lot of restlessness, a lot of agitation? That's worry. It's anxiety also, anxiety for the future. You know, when you start worrying about tomorrow, you know it robs you of today. You lose today because you're already worrying about tomorrow. But when you worry about your needs, what you're doing is you're using your needs to consent to worry. And what happens is the worry comes and it attacks your faith, right? Jesus says in Matthew 6:31, Jesus says, "So don't worry saying, what shall we eat or what shall we drink or what shall we wear?" Right? We're not to worry about it. He's not telling you that you shouldn't because he doesn't care. He's saying, because I'm going to provide for you. In the next verse, 32, it says, "For the pagans run after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. For each day has enough trouble of its own." You know, my mom used to tell me that all the time. "Honey, what are you worrying about? Why are you worrying about something that hasn't even come yet? You're entertaining this energy in your life, and then you're wondering why you can't function in the here and now, because you're worrying." See, it's an enemy of your faith. We're to have faith not in what we're asking. We're to have faith in God's faithfulness. And that's what I want to talk about. In Matthew 6, starting verse 26, Jesus said, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And how much more valuable are you than they are? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Let me ask you a question. When you worry and worry and worry, what happens to your body? Your body produces a chemical called cortisol. It's a stress hormone, okay? And if you have enough worry in your life, that chemical will start to attack your heart. It will physically start to attack your body. So when God says don't worry, he's saying, because I love you, I don't want you to hurt yourself. It's not just because I don't want you to not worry. It's because I don't want you to hurt yourself. See, there are concerns in life, and then there's worry, and there's a very fine line. And I'm not saying that we're not to have concerns for the things that we need in life, but we're never, ever allowed to worry about those things. I want to tell you how God gave me the ability not to worry. He taught me. You know, sometimes the lessons that we learn, they're painful, man. They are. Back in 2010, I had a horrible accident where I destroyed my left ankle, 13 screws and two plates later, and $100,000 in medical bills and a medical bed. I'm sitting there, and God bless my wife, man, because, see, here's how we did it in our family. I'd go make the money, I hand it to her, and she says, "Okay, I'll go pay the bills," right? God bless you women for doing that. You guys are good. But I knew that this day, for some reason, was not a good day, because she had this really look on her face, and I said, "What's wrong, honey?" She goes, "You don't understand. We're behind on our power bill. I paid as much as I could the month before, but they said if we don't pay $500, they're going to shut our power off." This is the middle of August, you guys. I'm in a hospital bed. I can't go nowhere. You know what she told me? "Well, have fun. I'm going to my mom's. You're going to sweat bullets." I said, "Oh, man." So what did I do? I couldn't do anything. I couldn't get out of bed. I couldn't put any weight on my foot, nothing. So what I did is I had to get into the Word. And as I started to pray, God revealed something through a promise in his word to me. And it was Philippians 4:19, where he said, "And I shall supply all of your needs according to my riches and my glory in Jesus Christ." He said, "Russell, do you believe that?" I said, "Yes. I have to, Lord. I'm in a hospital bed. I can't do nothing." He said, "Then you better start thanking me." I said, "Okay, Lord, thank you." And my wife comes back downstairs and she says, "So what are we going to do?" I said, "Well, God's got it taken care of." She goes, "Oh, yeah, mister, how's that going to happen?" "Well, God said he's got it." She's like, you're nuts. You're crazy. I said, if God's got to make it fall out of the sky, he'll do it. You watch. Because I'm putting my faith in him. I can't do anything. I need him to do it. And he just told me in his word, he's going to supply all of our needs. So the next day, my wife goes out with a girlfriend. They have lunch, and then they stop by her house to do something. And she could tell my wife was a little concerned. And she says, hey, is everything okay? And she goes, oh, no, my husband's nuts. And she goes, what do you mean? She goes, I got to pay a bill tomorrow. We don't have the money. And he says, God's going to make it fall out of the sky. And she said, well, how much do you need? And she says, oh, I would never ask for this much. It's a lot of money. She's like, well, just tell me how much it is. She says, $500. And she says, did you say $500? She said, yeah, why? She goes over to her library, picks up a book, opens the book, and hands my wife an envelope. She says, I want you to open that envelope right there. She said, why? She said, just open that envelope. She opened it up. Guess what was in there? Five $100 bills. Do you know five is the number of grace? Come on. Now, here's the thing. My wife could not believe it because it literally fell out of a book. Right? But here's the thing. What she said is that she was blessed in a business transaction, and God told her, I want you to take $500 of that blessing I gave you, and I want you to put it aside, and I'm going to tell you who to give it to. Come on, let me tell you something. There's something to be learned there. I'm telling you. The Bible says that God refreshes those who refresh others, right? Man, that was so refreshing to have an AC in August. But you know what's so cool about that whole story, and I promise you, you can talk to my wife, it's 100% true, that money was put aside 3 weeks before I even needed it. And the Lord was saying, what you worrying about, son? I already had it 3 weeks in advance for you. Here's what he said. Come on. He said, everything that you receive from me, you have to receive through faith. You can't just ask in faith. You got to receive it in faith. So how did I receive it in faith? Well, we're going to read in Philippians chapter 4, starting with verse 6, where it says, do not be anxious for what? Anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your what? Request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. See, the first thing I had to do is I had to go to him in prayer. And I had to lay out this petition and this request. And then what did he say? Well, you better start thanking me. Well, you know what? Your breakthrough may be a praise away. I don't know. It might be a thank you away. But you know what happens when you pray to God in faith? You know what you become? A VIP. You know what that stands for? Victorious in prayer. You guys are warriors. See, God has come to give us victory against doubt, you guys. Why? Because he's faithful, and you don't ever forget that. So don't worry. It attacks your faith. And when your faith is attacked, the Bible says you can't do anything if you don't have faith. You can't please God. You can't receive anything if you're doubting. Which leads me to the second enemy, which is the enemy of fear. Now, fear is a feeling when you perceive danger, threat, or harm of loss, okay? Jesus is telling the disciples, let's go across the Sea of Galilee. We're going to go to the other side. So what did Jesus say? Were they going to go to the other side? Yep, that's what Jesus said, right? So we're going to pick up in verse 37. As they're going to the other side, it says, a furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. I love this. Jesus was at the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him up and said, teacher, don't you care if we drowned? He got up and he rebuked the wind and the waves. Quiet, be still. Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. Here's the verse I want you to hear, okay? He said to the disciples, why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith? See, what happens is when we start to look at our circumstances, right? Those circumstances can make you forget what God has done. It can make you take your eyes off of who's with you. You know God's with you. See, the reason why Jesus said this is because right before this, They had done all these miracles with, they saw Jesus do all these miracles. And all of a sudden, these waves start to come into the boat. And it says it was sinking, but you know what's so cool? It's Jesus sleeping, man. Man, that's a peace that surpasses all understanding. But you know what that means? That means that that boat represents something. It doesn't just represent that they were going to the other side. That boat represents us in the world. And sometimes when we're in the world, it feels like we're going to go under, you guys. It feels like, man, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And Jesus is like, you have little faith. I'm in the boat with you. What happened to their faith? Their fear drove it out. You know, anytime that you entertain fear, you're asking faith to leave, you guys. You know what fear is? It's false evidence appearing real. I know some of you have heard that. But do you know what faith is? Faith is forsaking all, I trust him. I'd rather have faith. I'd rather forsake that fear, forsake that worry so that I can put all my trust in him, right? See, fear and faith, they can't occupy the same place. One of them has to leave. Which one is it going to be, right? How do you push away fear? How did Jesus do it? You know, it's written in the Word because, not just because it's a story. Jesus is saying, I'm trying to show you how to command the storms in your life to move. Jesus spoke to the storm. Hello, who am I talking to today? You've been letting the storm speak to you. And God is saying, you got to speak to your storm. You know why? Because all creation knows the Creator's voice. And he that lives in you is greater than what is around you. And when you start to move in the authority that God has given you, do you know things in your life have to submit to that authority? Sometimes it's a process, but it has to submit. In Mark 11:23, Jesus says, truly I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in their heart, but believes what they have asked for, it will happen and it will be done for them. Here's the key, you guys. You can ask God for something, but if you're asking him and you're not believing, you're not going to receive it either. You're asking into the wind. God's saying, nuh-uh, I'm attracted to your faith. When you have faith, I'm like, I'm all about that. Right? What else did Jesus do to take control of the storm, to bring peace? What would have given them the real reason to not worry besides him speaking to the storm? Remember, I said he was in the boat with them. You think Jesus is going to go down? You think Jesus is going to go down with the ship? No, no, no. He said, we're going to the other side. You know, God's taking you somewhere. He's taking us somewhere. He's not leaving us here. We're going somewhere, you guys. In Deuteronomy 31:6, it says, be strong. Say, be strong. And courageous. Don't be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will what? Never leave you or forsake you, right? You know, this is not just a command, this is a promise. That he will never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Do you know when he says, I'll never leave you, you know what that means? He will never physically leave you. Like I said, Jesus lives inside of you. How is he going to leave you? He's always with you. Every step of the way, he's walking with you. But you know what never to forsake you means? He'll never turn his heart away from you. He'll never turn his heart away from you. He's faithful. He's so faithful that in his word, he says 365 times, fear not. Why? Because every day he wants you to remember he's in the boat with you. You have nothing to fear, right? Which leads me to the third enemy of faith, and that is what? Doubt. I hate that guy. See, when we doubt, what we're doing is we're wavering the truth and we're becoming double-minded. That's very scary because it makes us very unstable and it makes room for unbelief. You know, when Jesus went back to his own hometown, they didn't believe he was who he said he was. And the Bible says that because of the spirit of unbelief, there was only a few miracles that he could do. Do you think it was because he didn't want to do them? It was because you have to have faith to receive what he wants to do. And nobody wanted to believe who he was, so he couldn't really do what he wanted to do. There was a few people that have faith. But this is what happens to Peter in Matthew 14. We're going to pick up in verse 25. Shortly after dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake. And when the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. You know what the word terrified means? They were really, really scared. It's a ghost, they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid. Lord, if it's you, Peter replied, tell me to come to you on the water. Come, he said. And then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and he came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, and that's the key, you guys, when he saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and he caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? And when he climbed into the boat, the wind died down, and then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. See, when Peter went down, what caused him to sink was his doubt. Here's the thing. When we focus on our circumstances instead of the one who has called us to walk through those circumstances, we're going to entertain doubt, okay? Circumstances sometimes seem bigger than God. Have you ever heard that saying? Don't tell God how big your circumstances are. Tell your circumstances how big your God is. See, what happens is you start to belittle those things and you start to exalt God above those things. And you start to build yourself up in faith because you know what? God is faithful, right? As Peter's sinking, though, I love this about Jesus. Even in his doubt, and this is a word for somebody today, you may have sunk and you think Jesus doesn't care about you anymore. But you know, the Bible says that those who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. I promise you, if you just say, Jesus, he's going to come. And this is what I believe he did. Come on, Peter. Get up, buddy. Come on, man. Man, I thought you'd learn by now that I'm faithful. Come on, let's walk back to the boat, Peter. And then they got back into the boat together. That's amazing. You got to give it to Peter, though. Even though he fell, he was the only one that got out of the boat. Right? Got to give him some credit here, right? I want you to catch this principle in that story, though. Jesus didn't command Peter to come out so that he would feel like he was a failure because he sunk. It was to show us that when we allow our circumstances, our storms, the wind, or our physical needs to take precedence over what we see in Jesus, it'll rob us of our faith, you guys. And then what happens is we make room for doubt. James talks about doubt and the effects of doubt in James chapter 1, starting with verse 5. It says, if any of you lack wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like the wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. So verse 7 is saying that when you're asking for something and you don't believe what you're asking for, God says expect not to receive it. Anything that we do that's not in faith, you know, the Bible says is sin. You've got to believe that if you're asking God, he says, if you who are evil love your children, how much more does your heavenly Father love you and want to give you the things that you ask for, right? Especially when you believe. On the other hand, a person that does believe should expect to receive from God. See, that's the other side of the coin. If you do believe, you should have a spirit of expectation, right? If my kids ask me for food, I'm not going to tell them, yeah, I'll think about it. Maybe if you're good enough. No, you're going to get your kids the food that they need. Why?
Does this work?
Yeah. Good.
Oh, man, I got a microphone now. All right.
So,
Don't doubt, you guys. Doubt is faith's one of faith's worst enemies, okay? And the fourth and last enemy of faith is your own understanding or even the things you don't understand. You know, Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the confidence of things that are hoped for and the assurance of those things that are not yet seen. Can I ask you something? Does that make sense? It does when you understand. But I'm saying if you just read that, I'm going to have confidence in things that I hope for and the assurance of things I have not yet seen. Well, how can I have assurance of things I haven't seen yet? Can I ask you a question? How many people here today are saying, hey, I'm going to heaven? You better get your hands up, everybody. We're going to have a long talk after church. Okay, now listen. Have you ever seen heaven? Well, somebody has. Yeah, cool. Paul said, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has understood those things that God has in store for the ones that love him. Because I can't see it, you know what gives me the ability to receive it? Is I hope for the very thing that God has told me is waiting for me. Amen? Faith basically says it can comprehend the facts that you cannot experience through your physical senses or even your own understanding. That's why God gives you faith. Because it can comprehend the things that you don't understand. It can comprehend the things that your physical senses don't know. I want to tell you a story real fast. There was two farmers. They both needed rain for their crops. They both prayed. Which one had more faith? Deers in a headlight. They both prayed and they both needed rain. It was the one who went out and started to prepare his fields for what he asked for. See, faith moves. Faith moves. And the one that had more faith was the one who put their trust in who they were asking. Hello. Are you putting your trust in who you're asking, not just what you're asking for? Because if your trust is in who you're asking, what does Ephesians 3:20 say? That my God will do exceedingly and abundantly more than I can ask, hope for, or imagine. So if my faith is in a God that can do exceedingly and abundantly more than I can ask, hope for, or imagine, I'm going to put my faith in that. Why am I going to put it in what I'm asking for? He wants to give me more than what I'm asking for. Don't limit yourself, guys. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and what? Lean not on your own understanding, but in all ways submit to him and he will make your path straight. You know what that means? He'll smooth it out. He'll take the bumps in the road out of it because you trust in him and that will give you the ability not to stumble in your faith. Right? Because you're trusting in him. I want to share something with you that happened about 3 weeks ago. In the middle of the morning that I was trying to sleep, I hear 3 gunshots in the back of my house. I jump up. I'm angry because it's my only day to sleep in. I can't sleep in now because I'm angry and I'm up for the day and I can't go back to bed. So I go downstairs and I make a cup of coffee and I'm sitting there. And I said, God, I don't understand. I don't understand why everybody is angry. I don't understand why the world is the way it is. I don't understand why I'm angry right now. And this is what he told me. He said, your ability to understand what I'm doing in this time is going to be determined by your ability to trust me. See, your trust is the bridge that connects your hope to your faith, and without it, you'll do nothing. It was a still small voice just speaking to me. And I said, wow, that's the key, Lord. I got to trust you. Even in the things I don't understand, even in the things that make me angry, I got to trust you. You think the Apostle Paul had to trust God in his ministry? Shipwrecked, beaten, stoned to death, resurrected, put in prison, mocked, flogged. You think he's saying, hey, God, give me a break. Like, I'm doing all this stuff for you. No, he trusted in the Lord. And before his departure from earth, before his ministry came to an end, he says in 2 Timothy 4:6, Paul's getting ready to depart, and he says, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I finished the race. I've kept the faith, and now There is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but all who have longed for his appearing. You know, last year was one of the hardest years that I've ever been through in my life. It was May that my mother was diagnosed with stage 4 cancer. And I have to tell you, I work with such an amazing staff here. And they said, Russell, you take that time to be with your mother. And as a pastor, can I tell you, I'm like, God, okay, I'm believing for extra time, Lord. I'm praying, I'm believing. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that every man, every woman has an appointed day, you guys. And in that time, you know, God gave me the ability to just spend quality time. Remember I said, don't take things for granted? I spent so much quality time with my mom. I'm so grateful to God. You know what he told me? I said, Lord, I'm just asking you to do a miracle. You know what he told me? I didn't say this the first two services. I said, Lord, I'm asking for a miracle. And you know what he told me? I gave you a miracle. You know what the meaning of life is, you guys? It's not big houses, fancy cars, fame, notoriety. You know what it is? He said, the miracle I gave you is that you could be loved by her and that you could love her. See, the whole meaning of life is love, you guys. We got the wrong idea here. See, what the world needs is the love of Jesus. That's what they need. And in doing so, you know what my mom told me? As she was coming to the last part of her time on earth, as Paul was saying, you know what she told me? She said, honey, I felt like I've done everything I'm supposed to do here. I'm excited. I said, Mama, you're not afraid? She said, no, honey, I'm not. And I said, why? She says, I'm going to go be with Jesus. And I'm going to wait for you. See, faith gives you the ability to have hope even in the things that hurt. It gives you the ability to have hope in the things that don't make sense. Why? Because I trust him. Today, I want to give you the opportunity because the Bible says that today is the day of salvation, you guys. I don't know, in a place like this, there might be somebody that was invited here and you don't know Jesus and you're saying, Pastor, I want that same relationship. I want to be able to put my trust in Jesus. Even when I don't understand why things are happening or not happening the way I believe, because I trust you, Lord. Even online, I know somebody's hearing this online right now. If that's you, I don't want to embarrass you. I just want to pray for you and I just want you to raise your hand so I can pray for you. Who's that? Who am I talking to right now? Who's the Holy Spirit? Come on, sister. Holy Spirit speaking to you right now. Come on, Jesus. How many people are struggling in some of these areas? You're struggling with worrying, fear, doubt, or not understanding what's going on. Who's that? You want God to give you victory. You want God to remove that fear. See, we don't have to wait to get to heaven to live in victory. We can live in victory today. I'm going to pray for you right now, okay? Father, in the name of Jesus, there are people here that have raised their hands because they're saying, Jesus, I need you in my heart right now. I need you to live inside of me. I need you to forgive me of all my sins. I need you to write my name in the Lamb's Book of Life, and I need you to come into my life so I can have trust in you. And I don't have to have fear. I don't have to have worry. I don't have to have doubt. Lord, as these hands are raised high and their hearts surrendered to you, Holy Spirit, I pray a tangible impartation of your presence right now. I pray you start to touch hearts right now, God. The time is short. I know you're coming back, Lord. I know you're coming back. And Lord, those who have raised their hands that are struggling in their faith, God, that's good. That means they're getting stronger. They're moving in their faith. And Lord, I'm going to pray right now that every area that they surrender to you today, God, that Lord, you would take that yoke and that burden from them, God, and that you would give them your yoke and your burdens, because your yoke is easy and your burdens are light, God. Father, we thank you so much for what you're doing here at Valley Vegas Church in Las Vegas. And Lord, we know that, Lord, we got to go out there and we got to show people who Jesus is. So Lord, give us the ability to go out today and represent our King so that they want to know him. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Wow. God is so good, you guys. Can we give Jesus a round of applause, please? Well, hey, I hope you have a very good rest of your day. I thank you for coming. And like I said, I will never take this for granted again, okay? Love you guys. God bless you. See you tomorrow, or see you Wednesday or Sunday.